I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. John Gross, University of Akron head coach. His Zips are headed off to the NCAA tournament in Seattle. We're going to talk to him coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We just caught up with Sam Amico from HoopsWire.com. We were talking about the Cavs, and you know, there were a couple of things that came out of that. And one of the questions is, how should the Cavaliers play this down the stretch? And you know, should they rest starters? Should they play the starters? Sounds like they're going to play the starters a little bit more. And then there was this other conversation that came out of it, too, about if the Cavs made it to the NBA Finals, would you like to see them play the Lakers? So, Jeff, just quickly, just reiterate where we're going with this thing. You want the minutes to look like what for the Cavs' go-to guys? Not necessarily starters' go-to guys.
I want it to look like what's worked so well during the regular season. If I find I have to adjust and play guys more than I adjust, but... And I'm not going to change what people haven't been able to stop. I don't understand that, if you want to know the truth. You guys have, no team in the league has been able to stop this on a regular basis. We've only lost 11 games by playing plenty of guys, plenty of minutes. Part of it is to be fresh for the playoffs. So you want to all of a sudden wear them down? It hasn't failed you. So why change?
It's a good question. Harrison's in Brunswick. Hi, Harrison.
Harrison.
How's it going, guys?
Hey.
You know, I agree with Jeff. When we're, you know, we look back at the 2016 roster, we had eight guys averaging over 15 minutes in the playoffs. Ninth guy was averaged just under that. So I don't think you need to change it up. You know, you're going to drop minutes when you get to the playoffs eventually, but nothing wrong with a deep rotation. Like you were talking about, Andy, you know, I like our matchup against the Lakers. But when you put the national media into play, I just think our guys do not need that. They'd have a field day with that.
Oh, you're going 95 Indians Braves on me where they said that the Indians were a little intimidated by all the media there. I hear where you're going.
You know, he's going LeBron fact.
Time, but, you know, I hear what you're saying.
I hear you. All right, thank you, Harrison. Good stuff. Cleveland's in Cleveland. Hi, Cleveland. A lot of Clevelands.
Hey, how you guys doing today, man?
We're good. Talking a little hoops.
I'm going with Jeff on this one. I'll tell you, the Cavaliers won't be coming out of the East this year. It'll probably be 2027. Reason being is because they don't have the experience and what they really need in playoffs and what they need in the playoffs. Now, this is a good year for them to get there and really get thirsty and be more determined and maybe even get another star that'll come up to them. Then, because teams, guys want to play with us now, I'm sure. And I'll let you guys go with that.
All right. Thank you, Cleveland. Cleveland checking in. Jeff, you buying that?
Well, I
you don't think they have the experience? I think they've learned some things along the way, for sure.
Experience is part of it. I also think, you know, the construction of the team might be part of it and the construction of the opponents. You know, I think if the Cavs can come out of the East and get to the NBA Finals, it'll be a wonderful and major accomplishment. You know, the playoffs are different than the regular season, and I wonder, you know, I wonder if they're ready for that. It took Boston, what, is it 6 years or 7 years? 6 years of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum playing together before they were able to get going, and with much tinkering in between. I don't know that the Cavs are in that same type of situation, but it just doesn't automatically happen. And, you know, sometimes it never happens. And, you know, I look back to some great Cavalier teams that ran into Michael Jordan, you know, year after year after year, and they never made it to the NBA Finals. And, man, for my money, the Hot Rod, Ron Harper, Larry Nance, Mark Price, Brad Daugherty teams, man, those were really good basketball teams, and they never made it there. And think about some of the great teams in NBA history that never won a title. And it's just not a foregone conclusion because you were really good in the regular season that you're going to win seven-game series after seven-game series after seven-game series and, you know, win the title.
All right, I want to switch gears for just a second here, too. And I want to get into another story that kind of is making headlines for basketball in the state of Ohio. The Boys and Girls State Basketball Championships in Dayton. Girls were there last weekend.
Those games at Wright State?
No, those games are at University of Dayton.
At Dayton?
And the boys' games, the finals are at Dayton, too. But it's funny you should bring up Wright State because I think that they're going to come into play here in the very near future because they've got to figure out a way. I think they've got to figure out a way to get the Final Four all to one site. And if anyone's been following this year, they no longer do four divisions. They are now up to seven. So it matches what we do in football. And boys and girls basketball now sitting there with seven divisions. And what's interesting is in the girls side, and it's just weird that the D4 final last year became the D7 final this year, Waterford against Fort Laramie. And, you know, that was probably one of the best games of the weekend. That was a two-point game. But it's weird to see two teams that automatically they've dropped from Division 4 to Division 7. Again, all of this is based on school size and I want to say actual people, but it's not because, you know, you can count as six players at one school or four players at another school, depending on transfer if you're at a private school. So the methodology is interesting at best to take a look at it and see how some schools are in certain divisions. So, but I mean, as far as the public schools are concerned, it's not really altering at all. It's the private schools where you get in that situation. That's another story for another day. My question for you is it oversaturation that you've got seven divisions instead of four right now? And a lot of people I talked to over the weekend were like, man, I remember when it was just three, when it was AAA, AA, and single A. And, you know, you can go back even farther than that. And like the argument that I was hearing, and I don't have a real problem with having seven divisions. They're not going back. They're not going to go back to four after this. There's just no way. You can't turn this thing around. And I'm sure that the quality of play is going to equal itself out here over the next couple of years as things progress. This is the first year that, I mean, anyone that watched knows the first five games were not as good as the last two. But you did get to see Miss Ohio basketball. D. Alexander is outstanding and plays for, a Cincinnati Purcell. Marion, she's pretty good. Avon Lake had trouble with her, and Avon Lake was pretty much the only school, you know, from the direct Cleveland area that was there. But Norwayne was down there too. But the more I kind of look at it, I don't have a problem with seven teams. I just wonder if people are saying, well, here we go again. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a medal.
Yep.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I think seven is too many. I don't understand it myself. I think four is plenty. You know, I mean, if you keep diluting it, and you know, we were one of seven state champions. Are there really seven different levels of attendance enrollment that you need to divide, you know, draw that line? I don't think so, personally.
Well, in football, it seems to work, and we're probably...
I think it's too many in football as well. I just think it's too many, personally.
So I'm going to disagree with you in football. I'm going to agree with you in basketball, but I'm just going to say that for right now. I want to see how this works its way out over the next few years. Again, it's the first year, and there are going to be bugs to it, like the fact that you're not playing the state semifinals and the state finals in the same venue. To me, like, getting to states means you're in the Final Four. It doesn't matter what level you're at, and it's just kind of disjointed that states are now at two different places. Like, the boys were going down this weekend, although they say the atmosphere was unbelievable in Canton over the weekend.
I did.
Especially for the Ignatius Olentangy Orange game.
I was in there for three high school games this year. It's a great venue. Great venue.
The last time I was in there, I watched LeBron play in high school, and I was like, it was just so old school. I mean, we talked about Hoosiers before, but it kind of had that feeling, didn't it? It's an old school feeling in a great venue, and it's fun to watch high school basketball in there. Is that the end all be all for a spot to play a state semifinal? I don't know.
I just quickly looked something up, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas high schools, there are six divisions with over 200 schools in each division. In Ohio, in boys basketball in Division I, there are 64 schools.
Right. This is the first year we've ever seen it. Like, traditionally, you had to win sectionals, you had to win districts, regionals, and then make it to the state championship. We had teams in Dayton last weekend that got a bye for sectionals. They went to districts.
There's no division, according to the OHSAA website, that has more than 134 schools. The top two, Division I and Division II, have 64 schools each. And then every other, it's 134 schools. So why do you need seven? Put the 64 and the 64 together and go play with 128 teams in that division.
Wait, you're saying Division II only has 64? Is that what you're saying?
That's what it says right here. I think it's way too many. I mean, Texas is a very, very big state, and they have over 200 schools in each division.
So I do think one of
maybe in something like that.
I think I don't know how you kind of stumbled on it, but I do think Wright State might be an answer for the Ohio High School Athletic Association. Again, if you don't like the thought of the Final Four not being all at one site, that you're playing the semifinals at one and the finals at the other, that, and I think we saw the Stark County prove that you can do this, to play state championships in Massillon and in Canton at the same time for football. Again, it's logistics, I think, is the biggest problem for for the state, and then you've got the first four in Dayton too, which kind of, you know, could change things up if you wanted to play everything in Dayton. And then the other thing is, like, you got to wait a week between winning your state semifinal and then going down and playing the state final. So I think that, I mean, isn't it great to have that tradition of, okay, well, you won on Thursday, now you get to come back on Saturday and play again for a state championship, or you won on Friday and now you play on Sunday again. Like, I think that's cool. I don't know. Just as we look through it, I just want to say good luck to, let's see, Glenville's down there. Massillon Perry's down there. Massillon Perry came out of the regular season with only 9 wins and made it to the state championship. So good luck against Westerville North to them. Lutheran East is in there from here. Just kind of looking through. Oh, Cornerstone Christian out of Willoughby. Good luck to them. They play on Saturday at 5:15 too. So, and then you got an all Columbus final in D1. That'll be interesting how that plays out. Olentangy Orange against Reynoldsburg. So I don't know, just food for thought. Seven champions versus four. We're watching it play out before our eyes right now. John Gross is also looking for a championship. We're going to talk to him in the next hour, head coach of the Akron Zips. They are in the dance. We'll look forward to our conversation with him next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, 216-474-0092.